Greetings everyone, I'm Brandy and welcome to Her Story Untold. This is episode 1. We're going to talk about toxic relationships, how to break free from them, and more. So I hope you guys enjoy and let's get started. So first off, my childhood was a happy one. Like, I was always happy, I was always laughing, I was always smiling. In spite of dealing with bullies, I still was just this happy-go-lucky little girl. You know, I really enjoyed life. I enjoyed traveling. I enjoyed jumping on my trampoline. My parents' relationship was very loving, very happy. They were so much in love. My dad treated my mom like a queen. And that's the kind of relationship that I hoped to have when I got older. I also used to be outside a lot. I would ride my bike. I would go on walks. I think that I still really like being outside and really embracing nature and going on these walks and things like that. The only thing is I don't like to do it when it's cold outside. Like today, it's kind of chilly and I won't go on a walk today. I like it when it's nice, about 70, 75 is the perfect day for me. But moving on from that, when I got about 18, I started to want to date. And my dad, because I was the baby of the family, he didn't want to let me date. So I ended up moving out and moving in with a roommate, which he was pretty much living with her boyfriend. So it was just me in the house a lot of the times. And it gave me the freedom to kind of cook and, you know, just do what I did. I don't even remember what all I did while living there. But I do remember that eventually the landlord came by and he was asking about rent. And I was struggling at the time because I had lost my job as a babysitter. For no reason, they just fired me. They said, okay, we're letting you go. And they didn't give me a reason. I was supposed to work at Walmart, but they kept losing my application for transfer. And then I applied at a gas station, and they kept losing my application. So eventually, I ended up moving back home. That didn't last very long before I found another roommate. I moved in with her and her boyfriend, which her boyfriend was someone that I went to high school with, and he kind of had a thing for me. So that was a bit complicated because, you know, like, when she wasn't around, he was kind of like, I don't know, he weirded me out. And I just mainly stayed in the basement. And then somebody, I think it was her brother or somebody, moved in. That was even more awkward for me. There was 2 bedrooms down in the basement, but it was so awkward. So anyway, I ended up moving out and in with my first real boyfriend. Okay, and his name was Brian. He was tall. The relationship was good for a while. He made me laugh. And I thought that that was important, and he seemed to be really close with his family. So I was like, okay, here's a good family man. That's what I need in my life. Now, I will say this, I was not attracted to him at all. Not even a little bit. When we first met, I was like, what is this? You know, like, I was not attracted. But I felt like having a sense of humor and being somebody who's a family man was more important than looks. So I gave him a chance. I was like, you know what? Let's do this. We started dating. And then the relationship went, like, super fast. Because I think we met around Christmas time. We were engaged. His birthday in March. Then we got married in September. By the time we were engaged, I think we were living together. And so, yeah, it was just like a super fast relationship, which I don't recommend doing. I recommend it giving it like a year before you just hop into it. But I think at the time I was worried about one of my parents' health, and I was like, I want them to be around to see me walk down the aisle. So I was kind of rushing things a bit. A year later, I found out I was pregnant. I just knew I was pregnant even before I took the pregnancy test. And when I told him, I'm like, I'm pregnant. He's like, no, let's take a test. It showed that I was pregnant. I'm like, see, I'm pregnant. He's like, well, is it even mine? Like, of course it's yours. Because I'm not one of those people who, like, think of something sassy to say. But if I could have, I would have been like, no, it's somebody else's and we're done, you know? But no, I was very honest with him. I was like, yes, it's yours. And I think that's when the toxic relationship actually started. Because he was a good man up until I was pregnant, and then he changed. And he started yelling, he started cussing at me, he started wondering where I was going. There was this one time where there was an event at his sister's school, and it was like where you could grab food and stuff. I was working at Menards, so I had a chance to go by and like grab me some food. And he had called and asked where I was and why it was so loud. And I'm like, you know where I am. I'm at your sister's thing grabbing lunch. And he just wouldn't listen to me. He's like, no, you're not. You're somewhere else. You left work and now you're at a party or something. And I'm like, no, do you want to talk to your family? They're right here with me. And he's like, no, just forget it. And he hung up. He was so mad. And I was like, I didn't understand at the time what happened. I did tell his family about it, though. I was like, he just called me freaking out because I was here. And there was other things, like little comments about my weight, comments about my teeth, and eventually it just tore me down. It tore me down to the point where I just didn't care about anything. I didn't care about how I looked, anything. You know, I stopped taking care of myself, and the relationship started to get worse and worse. And it got to the point where I was like, just go. You know, like every time he was home, I would wait until he would like just leave me alone so that I could have that time alone with me and my son. And that relationship was toxic in the way that it was definitely emotionally abusive, and I hated that. You know, I hated the fact that I stayed as long as I did, and then even the divorce was messed up. So I was the one that wanted divorce because he was cheating on me with multiple women, and he said he wasn't gonna stop. And I was like, okay, then there's no point in being married. So I drafted up like a note that was kind of like the statement of divorce, you know, and I was gonna have it notarized and everything. But he, instead of signing that one, he went and got like the actual divorce papers, which I was gonna do that, but he did it ahead of me. And I'll be honest, I was scared of him. You know, he was tall and he was, you know, he was very intimidating to me. So when he handed me the divorce papers, I didn't really get a chance to really look them over to read them closely because he was hovering. And so it made me nervous, and I just flipped through, and then I was like, okay, whatever. And it's signed. Don't ever do that. Make sure that you read the document carefully. That is one of my biggest regrets, is that I didn't read it carefully enough. And there it said that he had full custody of my son, and that was never supposed to be a thing. Like, it was either part or it was never, he was supposed to have full custody. And then there was like an agreement in there about selling the house. I wish I would have read that because, yeah, getting half of what the house sells for is really good. But I should have put a limit on that and but been all like, okay, if it doesn't sell within this time frame, you could just pay me the money, you know? Because it's been forever since we started dating, or not since we were divorced, and the house still hasn't sold. And I wish that there was a clause like to that, you know? I also wish there was a child support in there that said how much he has to pay legally, and stuff like that. So, anyway, that's what happened with that relationship. It was emotionally abusive. It wasn't physically abusive, but he did stop me from leaving a couple times. Like, when I said, okay, I'm done, and tried to walk out of the door, he would pull me back in and like apologize and all that stuff. You know how men do that, like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean it, blah 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 blah. They didn't mean it. They're just scared of being alone, and that's the thing, you know? So that was my first relationship, and now let's get into part two, the second relationship. So, when I met Dennis, it was after I got the divorce finalized. And let me tell you, Dennis was, and still is, very charming. Okay? Like, he can charm anybody at any time. And that's where your attraction comes in, because when I first met Dennis, he was so put together. He was very handsome. And I kept thinking, wow, you know, really, he's single, you know? And so we started dating. Once again, the relationship in some ways went really fast, but in other ways it went slower. But yeah. We started dating not too long after we started dating. I moved in, and yeah, it was crazy. It was just like, I don't know, like a whirlwind thing, and I fell in love with him from the start. I'll be honest, I really did. And he was good at that. You know, he was really good at making me fall for him. Sorry, I'm not a very good podcaster right now. I'm trying to figure something out with something else. Anyway, so yeah, he was so different than my first relationship because when he would leave, I would actually miss him. Like, and that's how I knew that I was truly in love because I would miss him so much, you know? I was like, I don't know, I just missed him. And then, we had our first 4th of July together, and I felt like, I don't know, like this is the beginning of something real, because the first 4th of July, like, I didn't realize what a laxative did. I took one. And yeah, it was a mess, and but he was like, it's okay, and he cleaned it up. He didn't freak out or nothing. And that's why I was like, okay, well, this is a good man. You know, and he really was, until I realized looking back now how many times he commented on how I looked, what I wore, my weight, everything. Like, looking back now, I realize how many times he put me down. But at the time, I was just like, oh, this man is so great, you know? And there was people telling me, no, this man is not great, and you need to stop. But I don't know. I was just blinded by love, I guess. And I kept. I kept wanting to be a part of his life, you know? And I think it didn't really get bad until later in the relationship. So there was times later in the relationship, once again after I had a kid, that he just, like, I don't know, snapped. He would freak out over simple things. Like, one time I was watching my son, and he was young, you know, so I was sitting there in the rocking chair, and I have fallen asleep with him, I think, I don't know. And he had asked me, Dennis had asked me to turn on the oven and get the food set. Well, you know, I had forgot about it because, you know, I was a new mom and I was trying to take care of a kid, so I really wasn't thinking about the food in the moment. And when he came home, he was like, why didn't you set the oven? Why are you blah blah blah? I was like, I'm sorry, I forgot. And so he just started, like, cussing me out and stuff. And so eventually I went to the nursery and I slammed the door and I was like, we'll talk when you calm down. I locked it, but in the meantime, like, I felt heaviness on my chest, like I couldn't breathe. And so I called emergency services and they sent out some policeman, and he's like, well, why did you call the cops on me? Like, I didn't call the cops, I called emergency services because I felt like I couldn't breathe. And I don't know, that started something, and it turned out that that was the beginning of my second postpartum psychosis, which it just sucks. It just sucks altogether. So I forgot to mention, with my first relationship after I had my first son, I had postpartum psychosis, which ended me up in the hospital in the psych ward, and that was not a good experience for me. All I wanted to do was go home and be with my kid, and I don't know, it changes somebody. That was the first one. The second one was after I had Brandon. Once again, the psychosis kicked in like a couple weeks after I had him, and once again, I was put into a psych ward. And just recently, I had a third time when I was put into the psych ward because of psychosis. Now, this wasn't postpartum, and nobody knows officially what caused it, but in my mind, I think what caused it is I was trying to take care of seven other people in this house. And it got to the point where it just was too much. Like, I was trying to do the dishes, cook, clean for everybody but myself. And sometimes myself was included in that. So, you know, it got to be a lot for me to handle, and I think that is what triggered it, but, and I also think I missed the day of my meds. But as a result of all of that, I in this neighborhood, I kind of feel like I have to stay inside a lot because apparently I ran outside naked. I didn't mean to, and it wasn't my intention, but when I'm in that state, like, I have no awareness whatsoever. It's just kind of all blank and black screen, pretty much. It's like I'm there, but I'm not there. And it was a horrible experience once again. It was actually worse this time, I think, because the psych unit that I ended up in was a lot worse than anywhere else that I've been. And there was a lot of fighting, there was a lot of people talking to themselves, arguing with themselves. There was a lot of cussing, there was a lot of, I don't know. The only thing that really helped was music and art, which I didn't realize how much I miss coloring, how much I miss painting. But while I was there, you could paint, you could color, you could work out, and I think I really enjoyed that about being there. But otherwise, it was a horrible experience. And I don't know, like, it is hard when you're 40 years old, which I am, and your life isn't going anywhere, and you feel like you can't do anything about it. And then on top of that, you're worried about everyone but yourself. And on top of that, you're trying the best you can to get through that moment that you had, which was more than just a moment, but where everything changed inside of you and you shifted and you don't remember anything from that time. You're trying to recall just the littlest things, and I can recall some things, but a lot of it's just blank. And on top of that, your friend, who you thought would always be there for you, doesn't want anything to do with you because you had psychosis and because you had it in a neighborhood where everybody knows everybody. And so, yeah, people are talking, and it's just horrible. It's a horrible experience. And you're trying the best you can every day just to get it through. Get through the day. There's another day. There's another day. And the weight of everything is pulling you back down to the point where you're stressed out again. And when you get stressed, then you worry about the psychosis kicking it again. And no matter what you do, it feels like it's just not good enough. Nothing is ever gonna be good enough. It's always gonna be some reason why you're not good enough. And past relationships have taught you that, and now your best friend has taught you that you're nothing. You're less than nothing. And I'm not saying that I don't know. Sometimes that's how I feel, and other times I feel joy and I feel happy. But for right now, I feel like a piece of garbage that everybody wants to throw out. And it just sucks. Like, I know that that is something that happened, but I also know that I can't help that it happened. I'm on meds, I'm going to therapy, I have a med change appointment, maybe, but nothing helps, In that moment, nothing helps, and nothing you say or do will ever help it. And you feel like a prisoner yet again because you are pretty much being evicted. But not evicted, but you are evicted, So, anyway, I do have to end this podcast here. I will talk more about my beliefs and my other stuff in the next episode. I hope you guys enjoyed this first episode of Her Story Untold, and we'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.